time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. This morning, we are welcoming back to the show Heather Ann Sharp. A quick synopsis, Heather was an airline pilot. 14 years ago, she was involved in a horrific car accident, suffering a traumatic brain injury. Paramedics on the scene thought she was dead. It was a miracle she survived. Then in 2010, while cutting down, oh, by the way, she went back to flying for the airlines after that accident. Then in 2010, while cutting down a tree on the family farm, the tree fell on her, once again suffering a traumatic brain injury. Well, Heather has written a new book entitled Never Dull, which in my opinion explains a whole lot how she was able to overcome such serious injuries. The family mantra, I think, was never give up. And I think that says a lot. Heather, welcome back to the world of aviation.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Over the past 52 plus years in this business, I've interviewed a lot of people. I've read a lot of books. But your book, Never Dull, was the most entertaining book I think I've ever read. I found myself laughing out loud, causing Kathy to give me the look while she was doing whatever she was doing.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you, because that is very high praise, because the bar is very high. Thank you.
Well, the book explains not only how you survived those two accidents, but when you look back at your ancestors, they truly had this indomitable spirit and a tremendous perseverance in everything that they did. Let's go way back to the beginning. Who came first from this country? Am I correct when I say Ireland?
Correct. And so, right. So my grandpa was born in 1905 in Ireland, and they were dirt poor. His dad died. My great-grandfather died when he was 47. My grandpa's older brother died. And as a young kid, my grandpa had read Nickel novels about cowboys and Indians. His dream was to become a cowboy. So in 1922, he immigrated to America with $18 in his pocket and the shirt on his back, came to California. We all know what happened in 1929. 1920 and 1933, Prohibition was on, but my grandpa knew how to think outside the box, or some would technically say, think outside the law, and he ran booze, and he had a still, and that is in the, those are cute stories in the book. At 40 years old, he became a millionaire.
Hold on, I want to back up before he becomes a millionaire, yeah. Because this is important.
Yeah.
A couple of things. First of all, he had a still. This is your grandfather, right?
Right.
Okay, he had a still, and he was smart because he put the still way up on a hill. Now, why would he put the still up on the hill overlooking the bay? What was the importance of having the still?
If you made whiskey mash, the smell of the whiskey it went for miles. It would tip off the federal men, is what my grandpa called them. You could do gin and vodka in a bathtub in downtown San Francisco, which my grandpa did. But you had to—he had one out on Pedro Point. The story is his cousins had the still, and they think it was the strawberry pickers coming up the road, and the cousins panicked and they said, "It's a federal man! It's a federal man!" And maybe Grandpa organized this whole thing and said, "Well, no, it's not. Just sit tight." And they fled. And he said, "Well, if you're stupid enough to flee, I'm gonna." They said, "If you stay here, it's yours." And I'm sure that Grandpa organized this whole thing. And so Grandpa put the others out of business and had his own still. And then once Prohibition was repealed, he wound up having the longest bar in the world in San Francisco, and was part of the sheriff's posse in San Mateo County, and they rode, I think they rode 47 horses across the opening of the Golden Gate Bridge and rode them into my grandpa's bar. 27 horses, head to tail. That's how long the bar was.
There's a photo in the book showing that bar. It's incredible. You know, when I was reading this about the horses in the bar, my first thought was, who cleaned up the mess?
Right. And they said if one more horse would have come in, then they would, the floor would have given through, given way, and it would have all collapsed.
Oh, no. Unbelievable.
And my grandpa, being from Ireland, he had a Palomino horse. And he died on St. Paddy's Day. He died the whole horse green. And the horse on the St. Paddy's Day parade.
You know, becoming a member of the sheriff's posse and everything, he must have been a an upstanding citizen in the eyes of everybody in San Francisco, to all the community involvement he had.
He was. And as my uncle said, it was because many of the police officers were Irish. And it was good to be Irish. He was well-loved and also believed in honesty, and he really had fantastic values and grit and determination and perseverance.
I'm flipping through pages here, looking at all of the stories and the notes that I took. Your father, let's talk about your father, Nolan.
Yes.
And at this point, first of all, when was the 1,200-acre ranch purchased by your, your grandfather purchased that?
Right. So I think he, by 1945, he was a millionaire. So I think in probably 1940, he purchased the ranch in the Santa Fe foothills, and they had four kids. 1937 was my uncle, who later became a world champion cowboy. And my
grandpa—that's
Jack, right? That's Jack. And my grandpa could have paved the way for my uncle because it was my grandpa's dream to become a cowboy. But because nothing was handed to my grandpa, and my grandpa had to be determined and through hard work get what he wanted, he did not help my uncle at all. My uncle says, but he gave me the gift of hard work and determination. And my uncle later became a world champion cowboy.
You know, in reading about your grandfather, I thought back to what I had learned about John Wayne in an interview that I did. Not with John Wayne, but a woman who wrote this wonderful book on John Wayne.
Yep.
And your grandfather reminded me of him because he was so, character was what it was all about. You know, John Wayne never signed a contract. He was always with a handshake. Your grandfather reminded me of that. He sounded like just a remarkable man. Were you able to know him at all, your grandfather?
I was. And he was very tough on his kids. Very, very tough. Well, when I got to know him, he was old enough that he started having Alzheimer's, and he was extremely sweet to my brother and I. And they said, well, he's nice to you. He wasn't nice to us. But I thought that was what was inside of him, that you can't hide that sweetness and character, and he was a delightful, delightful person. And I think that he was hard on his kids a little more, because he wanted them to be tough just like he was.
Heather, we are going to take a break. Heather Ann Sharp, former airline captain, pilot, is with us, and she has written a new book, and I would highly recommend this. Never Dull is the name of the book by Heather Ann Sharp. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll find out where you can get this book, by the way. And again, it is just, it's fantastic looking back on her family and her growing up and her mother and her dad. It's fantastic. It is 10:16. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Heather Ann Sharp is my guest. We're welcoming her back. If you recall in previous interviews, she had been in two very severe car accidents, horrific car accidents, both times When the paramedics arrived, they thought she was dead, and it was a miracle that she survived. After the first one, she went returned to her career as an airline pilot, flying the Airbus 320. And the second one, she's survived and is doing very, very well, and the book is indicative of that. Part of reading this book was, for us, it was so relatable.
Woman at church said, and she is not a horse person, and said kind of the same thing, that she goes, I was not part of this world, but to have the insight into that, and it was such a, she says, it transported me to another time, and I forgot all my other problems that I'm facing, and that I was so pleased to be able to give that to her. And she goes, it was such an uplifting story, and so that was fantastic.
Let's talk about your mom. Your mom wanted to be a stewardess, as they called them back then, today a flight attendant.
Right.
And it only took her 40 years to do that. What the heck was going on?
Well, she was barrel racing, and the very first chapter of the book opens with, my mom is 19 years old, and she's barrel racing at the Kell Palace, and right down the street was the Log Cabin Bar, where all the cowboys went either to celebrate or drown their sorrows after they competed. And my mom had this beautiful long ponytail that flowed behind her when she was barrel racing. And the girls had to wear very shiny outfits because the crowd loved it. And the rodeo producer they had strict dress codes that they wanted those girls to look good. So mom has her sparkly outfit on, puts on her lipstick, and goes to the bar. She's 19, armed with her older sister's ID, and elbows her way into the bar. And John W. Jones, who's a steer wrestler, grabs a hold of her ponytail and yanks her back and says, "Whoa, filly!" And she gives him some sass. Well, all good cowboys have a pocket knife clipped to their front pocket. He whips it out and cuts off her ponytail above the bow and hands it to her and says, "Every cowboy in here wants a piece of your tail." And my mom is standing there holding her ponytail and is like, "Is this for real? Did this really happen?" And we've told that same story. People would ask her, they go, "Oh my gosh, Marion, weren't you mortified?" And she goes, "What was I going to do? It was already gone. The hair was not going to grow back." And that was her attitude of moving forward, and we're not going to let anything stand in our way. And it was that she had probably from my grandpa, that attitude of, I'm not going to let anything slow me down.
So funny. Yeah, something else that I wanted to bring up, and I forgot about it, because it's just so many great stories. Your grandfather was known, so well known for when he would talk, he would stick his finger into the person he's talking to,
right,
into their chest.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and when my dad gave the eulogy for my grandpa, because the whole family was too choked up and they knew they couldn't get behind the microphone, my dad gave a very moving eulogy and then walked down the aisle of the church and stood and looked at Grandpa's casket, and everybody was crying. Then my dad poked the casket, just like my grandpa poked people in the arm. He goes, "And now, John, I have the last word."
Well, never heard this before, but you talked about the three taps on the casket, the meaning behind that.
So in the audiobook, you hear the actual voices. You hear me narrate it, but then I cut to interviewing my uncle and Jack Sparrow and Pat Pirelli and different people. My uncle said that he and my grandpa went to Ireland. The funeral procession went by, and my grandpa turned and explained to my uncle that we have to pay respect to this person and would turn and walk three steps in in the direction of the casket. Jimmy said, well, did you know him, Dad? No, I didn't know him, but we need to pay respect. If you know them well, then you go to the funeral home or to the church and knock three times on the casket, love, honor, and respect. I thought, oh, that's a beautiful story.
Well, in that respect, this is a great story in the book about your grandfather. He, when the sailors would come in, a lot of bars would steal the money from these sailors when they got inebriated. And
right.
Your grandfather, tell us what your grandfather would do for these sailors when they would come into his.
They would get intoxicated, and Grandpa would instruct the bartenders to take the money out of their pocket and put it in the safe and put a note in their pocket that says, your money is safe at Roddy's. And when they woke up the next morning, they'd see the note and they'd come back. And that's how Grandpa got so much business, so much repeat business, because people felt safe in his bar.
Isn't that something when you think about that?
What that is you can make a quick buck, but in the long term, if you're a good person, you will get rewarded much more.
It's true. Oh, how do we get your book?
So it's on Amazon. It's Never Dull by Heather Sharp. But if you don't check books, you get Never Dull, a metal polish. And even though I've had two head injuries, I think a metal polish is taking it a bit too far. So go to books, Never Dull, Heather Sharp, and or you can go to my website, heathersharp.com.
Fantastic. A great story about your mom, and she would dress to the hilt for rodeos, and would be
yes.
color coordinated with the color of the barrels, and she would dye
yes.
her hair whatever rodeo she was going to be at, and to prevent the dye from getting on her clothes, how would she dye her hair? And there's a great story in the book where it may have been just a tad embarrassing, so please explain.
Oh, that is the best. Do I have time right now? Because that is the
yes.
that is everyone's favorite story. All right. So she would do it naked because she didn't want to get the dye on her jammies. And so then she also had heard, oh, you know what? If you put mayonnaise on your hair and an egg, that will condition your hair better. Also, she had an inversion bar. And so picture a chin-up bar in your door jam. The idea was that you would sling up and hang upside down. It would elongate your spine, blood would go to your hair, and your hair would grow more luscious, and it would improve your cognitive ability. Well, I have questions about that. And so my mom is naked with her hair hanging upside down, and her back goes out. And she's like, oh no. And so she pictures, I'm going to die here upside down naked. And she finds the telephone. This is when it was, you know, plugged into the wall. And she sees it. And she's like, okay, swinging. She grabs the hold of the phone, brings it over. And my dad, who was a veterinarian, his clinic was right down the hill from their house. And she calls the secretary, hi, is Dr. Sharp there? And no, he's out on a call. And so mom is panicking and says, send someone up immediately. Well, the only person was the UPS man was dropping off stuff at my dad's clinic. And so the secretary said, can you go up and help Mrs. Sharp? And so he went up, knocked on the door. He goes, Mrs. Sharp? And she goes, I'm in here. And he came in and sees her hanging upside down, naked. And he goes, huh. Are you guys into S&M? She goes, no. Just get me off of here. And while he's helping her out, he goes, you just can't make this shit up. And she goes, I know. I hear that all the time.
Amazing. Heather, we are going to take a break. The book is Never Dull by Heather Sharp. You're listening to The World of Aviation. The book is Never Dull, written by Heather Ann Sharp. Heather was a former airline pilot, and then a couple of horrific car accidents knocked her out of the airline business. But life goes on, and that's the one thing that I think it's the mantra of the book, is you do what you have to do. Anything is possible. And I, you know, the first time I interviewed you, Heather, I thought to myself, how do you overcome what she has overcome? And now I have a real understanding that it's in your genes. It's your family's makeup, and it has been from the beginning. You know, in reading the book, I thought to myself, I'm surprised Heather didn't become a veterinarian, because your dad was a vet, and you would assist him. You would assist him a lot to the point of giving birth to I'm trying to remember, was it a horse or a calf?
Didn't give birth. I didn't give birth to a horse.
You assisted.
To tell you how I got interested in flying, because I had rodeoed my whole life, and career day at high school was in 1982, and because rodeo star or horse trainer was not a box that I could check, I checked the box for flight attendant, and Miss Thurite, God bless Miss Thurite, said, Heather, have you thought about being a pilot? And I said, oh, no, they don't let girls do that. She goes, yeah, they do. You should try. And the next week, my dad was being the veterinary inspector for a group of rodeo stock that was going to Japan for the American Rodeo Show. And he said, hey, Heather, I need an assistant. Do you want to? Yeah. And so we went to Stockton Airport, and Flying Tigers 747 was there. That's how long ago it was. Flying Tigers became FedEx later. And I learned all about weight and balance with, we loaded the calves first and then loaded the rope and steers and the bucking horses and the bucking bulls. And we had to put the bulls without horns on the outside of the aircraft, and the bulls with horns, not on the wing, near the wall, and the bulls with horns, because if the bulls hooked their horns, we didn't want them to puncture the fuselage, because they said we would have a rapid D over the pond. I'm like, what does that mean? A rapid decompression, and the pond was the Pacific. I'm like, oh. So the pilots arrived, and they saw me looking in the cockpit, and they said, hey, come on up here. And they said, well, what do you want to do with your life? I said, well, my mom wants me to be a flight attendant, but my teacher thinks I should be a pilot. But this looks hard. Is this hard? And the co-pilot said, oh, my gosh, no, this is a piece of cake. You push forward, the houses get bigger. You pull back, the houses get smaller. And then, and this is this is the best part, then he slapped the captain's shoulder and said, see, any idiot can do it. Look at our captain here. And I thought, I loved it, because it was so much the personality of cowboys and what I was used to, that here they were getting ready to fly an 800,000-pound airplane to Japan, and knew when to be funny and when to be serious. Because cowboys, it's life and death at times.
Yes,
and I thought, I love this. And before that, I had competed in rodeos, and it was me against the stopwatch. It didn't matter if the stopwatch didn't care what sex I was or what color I was. It was the best time won. And so I had I didn't understand at all what gender inequality, I never heard that word, because that didn't apply to me. So I came down from the cockpit, and I told my dad, I said, see that plane? I'm going to fly that plane. And he goes, that's great, Heather. And there was a bucking bull, he was trying to get it up into the airplane, and every gate was rattling. And if that bull would have got out, you'd been running down the runway, it would have been really bad. And my dad said, Heather, focus, let's focus on what's right in front of us. And he goes, you can tell me about that later, but right now we need to think about this. And that was also important in my recovery, that focus on what is right in front of you, and go, and for my recovery, put one foot in front of the other and don't look back and don't look forward. Just concentrate on today. I spoke to you before, the last time I spoke to you was before I returned to flying. 6.5 years after my bad accident, where I had a severe brain injury, they removed my skull to cauterize the bleeding on the brain. 12 fractures. Oh my gosh, collapsed. Really bad. 6.5 years later, after much testing, I got back to flying. Not a little Cessna, a big airplane.
The Airbus 320.
And I'll talk, the Airbus 20. And my first trip back, as you know, we do all the training in the simulator, and your first flight is with passengers in the back of the airplane. And I'm standing at the gate waiting for the airplane to arrive. A guy walks up with his boarding pass, and he's very nervous, and he sees me. He goes, can you help me? Can you help me? I have not flown in a very long time. Can you read my boarding pass and make sure that I'm in the right place? And I did not say, oh, what a coincidence. I haven't flown in a long time either. And I was looking at it, and my eyes got misty, and I'm getting choked up now. And I said, you know what? Everything's okay. We're all in the right place. And so 6.5 years later, I got back to flying.
That's incredible. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that, Heather. That's just such great news. Now, if I can, let me go back. I think in the book you were 11 years old. You weren't with your dad. I don't think your mom was on this trip, but you had been participating in a rodeo. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and the axle on the truck breaks.
Right.
You're with is it Joanne?
Joanne and John Jones, the same person that cut off my mom's ponytail. So I was in the truck with them. The axle fell off. We were in Coalinga, California, in the middle of nowhere. And there were no cars going down the road. And so here we are.
Are you 11? Are you 11
I'm
years
11.
Old at this point?
Okay. I'm 11
this is
years old.
This is important, age.
And this is why I wrote the book, because I did not realize how unique my life was. How unique my life as a child was, how unique my life as a female pilot was. So and a guy comes and picks us up. He goes, I have horses. I'll bring back my trailer. And so he takes John and Joanne's horses. We go to his place. When he picked us up, he had like 6 kids and a very pregnant wife, and they all got out. They were in California. I don't think they were Amish, but there was a ton of kids and a very pregnant wife. So we dropped the horses off at his place, and one of the kids comes running around the corner, and he says, she's having a baby, she's having a baby. And I said, oh. Well, it wasn't the wife, it was the pregnant mare. And so we went around to see this mare having her baby, and she was like 23. She'd probably had, I don't know, 13 babies in her life. They said, it's Sunday, the vet's not available, we don't know what to do. So John takes me by the shoulders. He goes, oh, well, lucky for you, Heather's dad is a vet. She knows exactly what to do. And he thrusts me forward, and he goes, Heather, you're up. And I'm like, oh, dear. And so I walk up to the mare, and I put my hand on her rear end. I go, okay, sweetie, lay down. Boom, she lays down. I thought, oh, this is easy. And so then I move over and I stroke her neck. I go, okay, sweetie, push. Boop, out comes the baby. I thought, oh, this is a piece of cake. Well, she could have done it completely without my assistance, but it made me look like a hero.
Yeah, and there's a wonderful photo in the book of you at 11 years old. It's 1974, and you're standing with this colt, and you got the biggest grin on your face. It's such a great story.
Yeah.
Heather, we've got to take a break. Heather Sharp is our guest. The book is Never Dull. And again, when we come back, we'll find out where you can pick up this book, because it is such a funny book. It is such a great read and great insight into her family and how she grew up. Another wonderful story in the book has to do with Roni. And I want to backstep a sec. Your dad was so ahead of his time. He went over to Japan for a pretty long period of time for a veterinarian to leave his practice to learn acupuncture.
Right.
And
right.
The story yep. about Roni, who was this electrifying horse, suddenly was lackadaisical and just didn't have the energy that this horse once had. And your dad, he showed what acupuncture could do. Please tell us a story about your dad and Roni.
Right. So that was back in 1979, and my uncle was using Roni as a bulldogging horse, and the previously electric, just hard-charging horse was not the same as he used to be. My dad, back in 1979, when acupuncture wasn't even approved for humans, really was forward-thinking, and my mom said, well, of course you can do it. You go over there, learn all about it, and you'll be the first to bring it back to the U.S. So Dad did acupuncture on Roni, and Jack and my Uncle Jimmy and my mom are standing there. So my dad said, so what's going to happen is right now his hair looks rough. It's going to lay down. He's going to shake his head and lick his lips because his pituitary and salivary glands are going to be stimulated. And sure enough, his hair laid down. And Jimmy, they could not believe it. They said, if we would have not been standing here, we would have thought you gave him a painkiller or a vitamin shot or something. That also helped my recovery. My husband said, you know, you threw enough at the wall, Heather, that something stuck. I did absolutely everything. I did acupuncture. I did massage. I did physical therapy. I mean, every single thing. The important thing there is an animal cannot understand a placebo. Either it works or it doesn't. Yeah. You can't tell a horse, oh, you're going to feel better. No.
Another great story is the story of Dandy, another horse.
Yes.
That your dad helped.
So another horse, Rose Webb, was taking Dandy to the national finals. And she goes, you know, he'll turn to the right, but he just won't turn to the left like he used to. So my dad said, well, how often does he like to roll? She goes, oh, no. Dandy does not like to get dirty. He does not roll. And my dad, with not very good bedside manner, said, oh, that's BS. Every horse likes to roll. And so my dad adjusted Dandy and gave him an acupuncture treatment. Dandy went out to the arena, pawed, stood up. And she goes, see, he doesn't want to get dirty. And my dad says, just hang on a second. Dandy laid down and rolled like a pig and grunted. And so I was crying. My mom was crying. Rose was crying. And my dad said, see, I told you, every horse likes to roll.
It's an amazing story.
Yep.
It truly is. Heather, tell us once again very quickly where we can get the book.
At Amazon, Never Dull by Heather Sharp. Or on my website, heathersharp.com. And then I will come back and talk to you again because I'm writing a book called Grounded about my recovery.
Can't wait. Heather Ann Sharp, again, the book is Never Dull, and we will have her back. This is the world of aviation.